One of the toughest challenges today is finding a solid church, a place committed to the truth, a place that proclaims Christ from all the scriptures, worships God with reverence, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship God with us on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school every Sunday for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Living in a day of political chaos, confusion, division, slander, fighting, separation, everything that you could imagine looking at our current political scene in the United States. Sometimes it's difficult for Christians to know how to process all of this and to go forward thinking about what it means to be members of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the true and everlasting King to whom we all bow. We're going to take up this great subject, this challenging subject today on Abounding Grace Radio. So thankful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. So thankful that you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. Well, today we have Pastor Mike Brown with us. Today we're going to look at Mike from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. What I really described here right at the beginning, all of the challenges, I don't know anyone who's watching the news and seeing all that's unfolding in front of us right now in a time of election process, changeover of leaders, the developments that have happened in our country that everyone I talk to is into this. Everyone I talk to has an opinion on this. What do they say? The two things you shouldn't talk about are religion and politics. And that's exactly what everyone's talking about, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, given the fact that we now have what looks like two candidates to choose from that many people in America are not excited about, either one of them. I mean, that's really the common discussion that's going around in our media, in society, in public places where we have discussions about these things. There's two candidates being put forth to us from the two main parties, and we're really seeing a cultural divide within our country that's been here for a long time, let's face it. But it is what it is right now, and a time of emotional height, right. A time of intensity. And what do we do as believers if we have two candidates and you are not really excited about either one of them, or maybe you are excited about one of them? How are we to navigate all of this stuff? What are we constrained to do from Scripture? What does God require of us? How are we to live as believers in this world?
Right. I think that's real important to give this program some real direction today. I think you just captured that. We want to help Christians to think through this whole process, how they are as Christians to move forward in light of the challenges that are in front of us. And of course, ultimately, to remember who our true and everlasting King is, who we ultimately bow the knee to, who we belong to as members of Christ's kingdom. So we're going to look at these great subjects today and this really important issue in light of Romans chapter 13, Mike, where God gives us a lot of instruction and help as to how we are to view civil authorities. And that's a good place to begin. Let me just read a portion of this to sort of launch us into this discussion today from Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. something we should always stop and reflect on a lot, and we'll come back to that. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Well, there's a lot there to address. But I think that first point there to remember in all of this, Mike, that there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Isn't it really helpful, Mike, to remember that in this whole process of everything that's going on, ultimately, it's the Lord who gives leaders and gives an authority and gives this structure of oversight in a society and governing authorities, magistrates. That's something that we have to remember in all of this. Amidst all of the election and discussion, we're worried about who's going to be in. We should be prayerfully seeking the Lord and asking him to give us rulers that most fit what we believe are wise and according to the office as God ordained it. But isn't that an important point to first remember? It's God who established authorities, who put it in place, and who gives us leaders.
Yes, absolutely. We're to recognize God's institution of civil authorities. Let me also say right here at the offset that, you know, here, the Apostle Paul and also Peter, when he talks about civil government in 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostles don't give us a blueprint for building a Christian government. That's something that I think we as American Christians have to accept and
really
understand.
Really important.
The New Testament does not provide a blueprint for building a Christian government. When Christ commissioned his apostles to go out into the world and to make disciples of all nations, we see them applying that in the book of Acts. What do? They baptize, they preach, they instruct, they plant churches, they administer the Lord's Supper. We see them planting churches. That's the nature of the kingdom of God. They did not go and build Christian governments. And yet, here you have the early church living in the Roman Empire, and there is this conflict, really, between this kingdom of Rome and what is really a temporal common kingdom that God has instituted from the beginning in order to curb evil and in order to suppress vice and has limited authority. But we have to understand that there's going to be this conflict between the two. And so this is something Christians have wrestled with ever since the beginning. Paul writes to the church in Rome and he reminds them there in Romans 13, as you read, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 2:13. The governors are sent by him. It's really important that we understand that the civil government is not redemptive. It's not part of the new creation. Rather, it's part of what we call God's common grace that exists between the fall of Adam and all the way until Christ returns at the consummation. If we go back to Genesis chapter 4, we see there the institution of civil government. As Abraham Kuyper said, God instituted civil government because of sin. It wasn't there before the fall. There was no need for civil government before the fall. But after the fall, now you have to have something that suppresses evil. So in God's judgment upon Cain, he establishes the justice and order in the world by putting a mark on Cain and then swearing an oath that anyone who punishes him would be punished. That amounts to the civil institution, the civil government or the civil magistrate that God institutes. But we want to make it clear that in the garden, Adam didn't pay taxes. He didn't serve in the military. He had no interaction with police or courts because there was no sin. The civil government is necessary because we live in a fallen world. That's something we have to understand, and that's why God has established it.
Right, and God uses that to preserve equity and justice among neighbors. The thing is, Mike, when looking at everything we're going through now, what I commonly hear is, I just want the United States to be back to the good old days, to remember we got to recover what the United States used to be. This has always been a struggle for Christians. We have enjoyed in this country a long period of peace and prosperity. I mean, I've grown up in a time I've lived very comfortably. When you look at the world and how many people live in the world in third world countries, we take all this very much for granted, but look at how good we've had it here. We've been so used to this and almost like spoiled children, so used to this, we don't know how to process the fact that governments and times do change. And things happen. We live in what we're calling now a post-Christian society, where in many respects, for years in this country, Christianity was the dominant religion in our country. Now we're seeing things change. And this is very similar to what the Christians faced in the first century in the book of Revelation. This is what John's dealing with, where he's walking and everyone is saying, walking around and everyone's saying, Caesar is Lord. And now the tides have turned against many of these first century Christians. They don't understand the persecution that's come upon them. How in the world, if Jesus is King and Lord, could this be happening? And it caused a lot of turmoil and panic in the body of Christ and in the church there. And think about all that Rome had promised for all those years, the Pax Romana, the peace, all the prosperity, protection within their borders, the great military might of the day, all these benefits and blessings. And yet now it was turning against Christians and they didn't know how to process this. And the John reminds them through a series of visions and revelation, no, don't forget, there is a king sitting on the throne. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And every knee is will bow to him and every tongue will be subject and confess him as Lord. I think that's so important to remember in the times that we're seeing in a changing nation and in a changing political scene.
Absolutely. I mean, in whatever land we live in, at whatever time, we as Christians always have to remember that our King is eternal. He sits upon the throne. His kingdom is forever. God promised that to David all the way back in 2 Samuel 7, and Christ is upon that throne right now. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And so no matter what happens, we have to remember Christ is in charge and in control. And when he returns, when he consummates his kingdom, it's already inaugurated, but when he consummates his kingdom, there will be no evil. There will be no need for any government except his. And his is a theocracy. His is a monarchy. We have a king. There is no representation. There are no right. elected leaders.
Good point.
It is Jesus who is the king. Right. And that's important for us to remember as we go forward, but also that the Bible nowhere promises that Christians will have favored status in the land. Right. There's nothing in the New Testament that's, in fact, Jesus promises just the opposite. He says in the Upper Room Discourse that you're going to be persecuted. We see in Acts, they're persecuted. It's through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. I mean, all through, Paul in his last letter in 2 Timothy tells Timothy, be ready to suffer. Again and again, he says that you're going to suffer for the gospel. All who desire to live godly lives will be persecuted. So we are promised nowhere in the New Testament as a church that we're going to have favored status in the land. So when we talk about going back to the good old days, that's always convoluted. There are certain things, sure, that we have seen slip away. Definitely government has become larger. It has exceeded the bounds of the authority that God has appointed to it, that we see in Genesis 4 and in Common Grace. It reaches beyond places that it should. And so in many ways, yes, I personally as a citizen would like us to see us return to the Constitution, but that doesn't mean that everything was perfect at any given time. There is no golden age. I always find it interesting that people who say, let's go back to the good old days are usually people who are white. Because if you're African American, you remember that back in the 18th century there was slavery,
right.
And so
good for who?
It was good for whom was it good? Right. And so there are certain principles, yes, that we have seen slip away. Smaller government has become larger, and other abuses, but not in everything is it because we live in a fallen world, and everything is messed up until Jesus returns. That doesn't mean we do nothing. We need to act with wisdom. We need to vote according to the principles that God gives us in Scripture. We need to be wise. But as a Christian, we have to start with the fact that, look, God has appointed these civil authorities because of sin, because we live in a world that is full of evil. He's done it in order to curb evil. However, their authority is limited. That is such an important point. You know, before the fall, we should understand that human relationships were centered in the family. specifically the divinely ordained creation order of children submitting to parents and wives to husband. And that shows us that the family and not the state is the foundational building block of human society. There's many who want to make the state the foundational building block of society, but God has made their authority limited. They have no authority to regulate scripture. They have no authority to regulate the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, or biblical church discipline. The president of the United States wants to come and address the congregation on Sunday morning. He is not allowed to do that. Because when we gather together as the kingdom of God, we gather not as Americans. We gather as citizens of Christ's kingdom. And that is something different than what the president oversees or what Congress oversees. Their authority is limited.
Right. I think that's really helpful. And I also think that it's important then to raise, I mean, I'm feeling right now the tension then. If I have a good biblical perspective of the kingdom of God and his Christ, and I understand where I belong and who I belong to, I have a kingdom ultimately I belong to that cannot be shaken. I have a king on a throne that can never be toppled. I've got this great perspective given to me and a city that I'm ultimately looking for, which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. I'm going there. That's right. My ultimate destination. That's where my heart is ultimately. That doesn't mean that I'm careless about the present,
right.
But there's this tension that I'm living in because of that. And I think we haven't, maybe there's been just so much confusion about this, that because Christians haven't been heavenly minded enough, that they've ended up putting too much confidence and too much trust in earthly leaders and earthly rulers to solve the greatest of problems. And ultimately, the greatest of problem that we realize is the problem of sin and the need for redemption and help. But yet we're still looking at a world that needs to be governed, right? We're looking at nations that need to be governed. What is my perspective to be then as, Mike, a member of this kingdom too? In other words, I've just said we know where our ultimate heart is, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're going, where our perspective should be. But yet I do care. I want a place where I can raise my children.
Of course.
I want a place where there is equity and truth promoted. But yet it seems like all that's just fallen to the wayside. I think that's what's caused the panic among Christians today, and they don't quite know how to process that. And don't you think then in light of that, we run the danger of doing what Israel did in putting our trust in earthly men and rulers and people to solve our problems rather than the Lord?
Sure. Well, it's always been a problem with people to do that, right? I mean, there's never been a nation that's perfect. I mean, imagine a nation where God was in covenant with that nation, and he even anointed a leader and gave that leader. Such a place existed once. It was called Israel.
Right, right.
God was in covenant with Israel. God gave the law to Israel. The Ten Commandments were posted everywhere. He even anointed a leader. He gave them David, a man after his own heart. And what kind of guy was David? David was a man who wrote Psalms. David was a man who prayed. David was a mighty warrior for God. He was also an abuser of power. He was also an adulterer and a murderer and a conspirator. He was somebody that if we saw one of our presidents doing the things that David did, we would have him in Fort Leavenworth or executed.
Right.
You know, and this was the man that God chose, and man after. It shows that every king ultimately is some lesser form of evil. Anything short of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in the flesh is a form of evil at the end of the day that is just there to help us get through this mess. Now, that means we still need to be wise and responsible. We are not saying that we just, you know, why polish the brass on a ship if it's sinking? Absolutely not. We need to love our neighbors. So yeah, as God told through the prophet Jeremiah to the remnant who lived in Babylon, hey, you need to plant vineyards, plant gardens, you know, build houses, marry, raise your families, seek the welfare of the city. And so what are we told here in Romans 13? Christians are to submit to the civil authorities. Even if you don't like the guy, okay, you're still to submit to their authority. Even if it's not your party, you're still to submit. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. That's really important for us to remember because, you know, we forget sometimes that in the first century, the emperors, many of them were wicked.
Oh, yeah.
And many of them persecuted. And still, we were to honor them. Titus 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. So we're to be law-abiding citizens. We're to do good in society. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Are we out involved in our communities? Or are we huddling up in Christian ghettos and just paying attention to ourselves? Right. Are we involved in the local schools and in the local rec sports leagues? Are we involved in our community? Do we know our neighbors? Or are we just trying to make these Christianized ghettos and monasteries? No, we need to be very careful about that. We need to honor those in authority, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, says Peter, fear God, honor the emperor. So we find even the apostles themselves who were persecuted by these emperors still honoring them nonetheless. And so these are some of the things that we're supposed to do as pilgrims in this world.
Yeah, we're not called to retreat. That's a really right. important thing. I mean, it's Luther who said, if I knew Christ were coming tomorrow, I'd plant a tree today. I just everything you said, his point was, I need to be active. I need to be doing the will of God. And you just gave a great verse that expresses that. So I think then, Mike, to help with the few minutes that we have here, to help Christians going forward, through this time, there's been so much confusion even among Christians on this whole thing. I mean, personally, I find that as I look at the kingdom of Christ, as I am understanding its principles and what the Lord has taught me in his word, which governs my life, I don't find myself really saying I am identifying totally with Republican or Democrat.
Right.
I think sometimes we think, well, Christianity is synonymous with Republican. And there's been a lot of that in our culture and society. And I think it's really mixed up our witness and message. There may be moral principles that are more compatible with the Republican Party, we might say. But to do that and then to sort of pitch it that I'm anti this, anti-Democrat, right. or I can't stand that. I think we've already done something and confuse something that shouldn't be confused.
Absolutely.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And then there are other Christians, depending on what your denomination is, who would look at it the other way and would say, well, Christianity is synonymous with the Democratic Party because they seek to love their neighbor and do good to the poor and those kinds of things. You know, we have to understand that the kingdom of God transcends any temporal political party
Amen.
In America.
Amen.
You know, these political parties are going to be long gone and forgotten one day. I'm sorry to say. That's the fact. I mean, civilizations come and go. God is so much bigger right. than the United States of America. He was bigger than the Egyptian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Greeks, the Medes and Persians, every single empire and nation in the past that was so huge and a world power. God is bigger than that. He raises up kings and he sets them down. He determines which way they will go as a stream of water. And so we have to remember how small these things are in the sight of God. Nevertheless, we do need to be wise as we are pilgrims in this land. So as we're going forward, what should we look for in a leader or a candidate? Well, is he willing to work within the bounds of his authority? Or is he going to be a tyrant? Is he going to follow the laws that have been laid down? In our case, is he going to follow the Constitution? Does he have wisdom? I mean, think about what Proverbs says. Proverbs 12:16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Is this someone who can ignore an insult, or is his vexation known right away? Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. So what kind of a man are we looking at here? Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So does he have wisdom? Also, is he a servant to society? Is he ambitious and desiring power and personal prestige? Or is he really there as a man to serve the people entrusted to him as a steward? And so these are things that we have to consider and recognize that, you know, everybody's going to be imperfect at the end of the day. until the Lord Jesus returns. But still, we want to use wisdom. We want to honor those in society and those ruling in authority, and we want to do good in society. We need to press that point home that as Christians, we need to be active in society, doing good for our neighbor. We need to be known for our good works.
Right. I mean, you just highlight in Romans 13, he is called a minister of justice. This is a magistrate. He is somebody God appoints to this end. But at the same time, I think it's important to emphasize it's not one strong man who will solve a nation's problems. It's never been that way. The Lord doesn't, anytime you had a ruler, think of Herod, who stood up on his great throne and said, or even Nebuchadnezzar. You have Nebuchadnezzar as an example. Is this not my mighty kingdom that I have built by my power and by my might? And what did God do to that secular worldly leader? He struck him down. He did the same thing to Herod in Acts 13, who when he gave his great oration of pomp and glory, the Lord had him eaten by worms. We need to remember this as a caution to say, how about this? Psalm 146, Mike, don't put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there's no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth in that very day. His plans perish. Listen, we are all in jars of clay.
Right.
No earthly leader is that powerful. He can drop in a moment. He still has a beating ticker in his chest. And we should always remember that the Lord is the eternal Lord of glory.
That's right. His kingdom is forever, as we sing in Martin Luther's hymn, and also as God has promised to David, and as we see is Jesus came. This is the throne that he's been given. And as you pointed out earlier from Hebrews, Chris, we look to that city with foundations, to a good country, a new country that God will bring.
Yeah, with no more sin, no more evil, no more injustice. What a wonderful thing that's coming. And that's why we plead with everyone who listens, come and bow the knee and confess the Lord Jesus Christ in the day in which he may be found. We hope that gives you some help. We know this is a big subject and you may have more thoughts. Maybe we'll take it up again, Mike. I don't know. But we hope that gives you some help to think through the current political time and chaos that we're seeing in our country, that you would look at this from a biblical perspective. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805. Again, find us on Facebook. So thankful to Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee that he joins us on Abounding Grace Radio to tackle these important subjects. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.